OK, all right. 啊，这位菩萨早安哈。OK, today, actually we finished the brief explanation for the eight consciousness. This talk is a little bit summarized what we have learned, and also the current study about consciousness and some idea that related to consciousness. I'm going to share with you in today's talk. 那我们之前其实已经把八识规矩颂做了一个大略的介绍哈。那今天呢，主要是把就是大略把我们学到的东西整理一下，然后把我们学到的东西跟目前当代各方面的这个科学还有心理学方面正在发展的东西呢，跟这个我们唯识学心识的部分呢有什么关联，再跟大家做一个比较跟分享哈。 So if you recall that Okay. In the beginning of the series talk, we introduced that in Buddhist doctrine, there is a school called consciousness only. It's actually a Buddhist psychology to analyze the mind actions, the process of mind actions. 所以一开始我们在介绍佛教里面的唯识学派的时候呢，有跟大家分享说它其实就是一个佛教的心理学的分析齁，心理学，那它分析我们人的心识活动的过程到底是怎么一回事。So basically, from ignorance all the way to wisdom, what will happen, through the practice. 那也就是说从我们凡夫的无明到成佛的这个智慧的过程当中呢，在我们修行的过程当中，我们的心识到底会有什么样的一活动，会有心识活动到底会有什么样的一个变化哈。 So if we have like three landmark here, like we ordinary people, sentient beings hereAnd then through the practice, we will get to Bodhisattva and then attain the Buddhahood. And during the process, actually, from ordinary people to Bodhisattva, we need to practice, one is to benefit our own self so that we can get self-liberation. And the other is to practice our altruism to help others and to...cultivate or generate our compassion. 那在凡夫修菩萨道的过程当中呢，我们有两个重点呢，一个就是自利，自利能够得到解脱，就是自我的解脱，同时我们也要练习呢利他，从利他的过程之中去生长养慈悲心。那这是我们这个第一个阶段的修行过程。And the second path is from Bodhisattva to Buddhahood. Through this, process, and we will gain the ability, we will, have the ability to use the power to benefit our own self and also benefit others. But here, the benefit others and benefit ourselves is different from here. The first stage is we try to, we have the so-called I to practice benefit others. But here is that there is no strong concept of I, different, very minor, concept attachment to I, and although it still has ability and actually more ability and more the ability to fulfill people's need. In other words, when or sentient beings try to help others, sometimes we really don't know what they really need. We think we are helping others, but we actually don't. And here is the Bodhisattva really know what we need and give us what we really need and truly help sentient beings. So it's different. One is for practice. One is Bodhisattva has the true ability to help others. 那在这边呢，佛呢，从菩萨道到佛的时候呢，我们会有一个能力，就是自受用跟他受用。那自受用跟他受用的能力，跟这边的利他呢，凡夫的修行利他是不一样的哈。在我们凡夫位的时候，修行利他的过程，我们只是想要帮助他人，可是因为我们的慈悲跟智慧有限，所以当我们虽然有想帮助他人的心，可是我们不见得能够帮助他人，但是我们还是要不断的帮助他人，因为这样子可以张扬我们的慈悲心。可是在这个阶段呢，因为智慧慈悲智慧的开发，那他们就说菩萨会慢慢的具备完整的能力，就是他可以知道众生真正需要什么，然后给他们真正需要的帮助，然后他们真正能够获得帮助，我们能够真正获得帮助，所以它是不一样的。好 and then the core concepts of consciousness only is, one is called dependent arising, and the second, all dharmas have no true self, the nature of emptiness, and the third, all phenomena are created by consciousness, not by the outside world. 那唯识学的中心思想呢，第一个是缘起的观念，第二个是一切法无我，就是空性的观念，第三个呢是万法唯识，所有诸相 皆是心识所造的这个观念。所以呢，我们 So our goal to learn this school is not really analyze very detailed about the process of our mind, but first to understand why all dharma have no self and everything is created by the mind, and second, to understand the cause of suffering or the cause of vexations so that we can let go. And the third, learn how to transform consciousness into wisdoms. 那我们的学习目标，我们因为我们不是唯识学派的一个修行道场，所以我们并没有要让大家去学习非常细微，就是非常精细的一个唯识心识的一个分析过程，那但是我们希望呢，可以稍微的了解到为什么一切法无我，为什么讲万法唯心识所造，然后我们可以去了解到说我们的痛苦跟烦恼的来源是什么，它的来源其实就是错认为诸法实有那所带来的烦恼。那第三个是希望练习知道如何转世成智。So our eight consciousness here interact with environment, the so-called objects, and we have a process of mental reaction here. And the mental reaction reward our consciousness with new concept or new seeds.And so that's how we get contaminated. And then the ignorance got deeper and deeper. And then we cannot clearly understand what the true phenomena is. 那这个就是说我们的心识，就是他阿赖耶识的，他跟外境对象，客观的对象互动之后呢，我们产生了一个中间一个很主观的一个心理活动。好，那这个心理活动呢，它又会回馈给我们的阿赖耶识新的种子或是新的染污，好，然后让我们就更加的无明，那更加的不知道的诸法实相，这就是 一个很简单的一个表达哈。OK. Now we also learn the so-called 100 dhammas in 5 categories. Here, if this represent the universe, the whole presence of the universe. Okay. Then we divided into, first divided into two part. The one is called conditioned Dharma. The other is called unconditioned Dharma. For enlightened ones, what they practice, what they are doing is called unconditioned Dharma. Meaning that it's not dependent arising. It's no arising, no perishing, and no changing whatsoever. There are six of it. And because this is for the Buddha's practice and enlightened practice, so we did not explain this, and I don't truly understand either. And the other 94 are called conditioned Dharma. Is that what we ordinary people have? The conditioned Dharma is everything arise because of causes and conditions. And that include the form, and the mind, and the consciousness, and the mental factors. And those dharmas that, because it's conditioned, so it usually has four process called arising, abiding, changing, and perishing. Okay, so all the Dharma here has this four process. So it's not constantly there. It's changed all the time. It's impermanent. 那我们在讲，假设我们把所有世界宇宙的一切现象啊，这框在这个红色的框框里面呢，那在唯识学里面就把它说成是这个白法啊。把它分成五类，就是说这个宇宙的这个存在呢，是因为有一百法，它存在的之后呢，它里面有分一百个法，里面有分有为法跟无为法，那六个无为法呢，它就是属于非因缘所生，无生无灭而无变异的极灭法，这是证悟者所运作的一个法哈。那这个部分我也不是非常的了解，那在我们的 talk 里面也没有讲这个哈。那但是有94个呢是属于有为法，是我们一般凡夫在运作的哈，认知的这个有为法呢，它就是因缘所生的一切法。好，比如说色，我们这边讲色法、心法里面，还有把讲心所哈，还有这个不相应行法呢，它都是属于因缘所生法哈。那它就会不离生住意灭的四种变化，那它是无常的，它会变的哈。OK, so the conditioned Dharma can further divide it into two categories. One is called cognizable, the other 24.The other category is called non-cognizable, and there are 24 of them. And I will just give you some example because this is very important for science study. And cognizable Dharma can further divide into two parts. One is called form, the other is called mind. And the form contained 11five organs and six objects. Five organ is the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and body. And the six object is the color, the sound, the smell, the taste, the touch, and the thought, the idea. And the mind, we talk about the eight consciousness. It's called the king of the mind, eight kings of the mind. And also we talk about 51 mental factors that connected to the eight consciousness. 那我们在有为法呢可以分成两个，一个叫做相应法，一个叫不相应行法。哦，相应行法就是你可以认知的。好，那不相应行法如果粗略的讲就是说你没有办法觉知，好，没有办法用五根去觉知的，好，它是比较属于观念概念性的东西。那可以相应法里面呢我们有分色法跟心法，那色法就是五根加六尘，好，眼耳鼻舌身色声香味触法，那这是11个色法。那心法就有八识心盲加51个心所，哈，那就是59个嘛，哈，那这总共加起来就是100个法。好，好 ，so based on the 100 dharmas, and here we talk about majorly 94 of them is conditioned, so it's depend on the condition, causes and condition, so we.Need to refresh the core concept of the Yogacara or the consciousness only school is the concept of so-called 12 links of dependent origination. Okay, this has been talked about in Buddhist concept of Buddhist doctrine over and over. So this is it's very important.The process that why things arise and why things perish. It starts from our ignorance or the karma that we have been accumulated in the past. And then we have a volition, function of the mind and the consciousness enter into the so-called the embryo or the body.And then we start to develop six organs that we can interact with the environment. And so then after the organs are developed, then we have the ability to contact with the outside or the contact things. And then we generate feeling and we have discrimination of love, and like and dislike. And then we will make the decision to take it or not take it. And then we further accumulate more karma and bury into our, to enforce our ignorance. And because of the karma, we have next birth and death cycle for our future life. 那在这个缘起当十二缘起呢是唯识的一个源流，哦，就是说唯识学它的起点，哦，就是它开启的一个核心思想就是缘起的一个观念。那在佛教的观念里面呢一不断的讲提到的就是十二缘起之，哦，缘起有很多的，但是最 popular 就是十二缘起之。它从我们无始以来的无明或是业，哦，那开始呢有行的一个作用，无明行，然后四，好，来进入我们的这个所谓的六道众生的受胎，哦，然后看我们的是受到哪一胎，哦，然后我们发展我们的六入，哦，就是我们的根，就是根气，哦，那每一种动物，哦，也不同的根六根嘛，哦，然后我们就有能力可以跟外界来接触，然后我们会有感受，那这个感受呢我们就会有分别判断，然后就告诉自己我喜欢不喜欢还是怎么样，然后喜欢不喜欢之后呢我们就会采取行动，哦，看是要还是不要，哦，那在这个过程当中我们就累积了什么，累积了更多的业更多的习气，哦，然后再存到我们的无明里面去，哦，这就是业又更多了，哦，那这样的过程呢就注定了我们又有一次的下一次的生与死的一个轮回，好，那这是一个非常重要的一个就是一个观念。This is a very important concept. This is just not for our life. Even a thought, even an idea, a thought that generate in our mind, we can still use these 12 links of dependent origination to observe the process of the arising or dependent arising. And so for practitioners, for ordinary people, we always follow this path, circle and circle. But for practitioners, they operate in the opposite direction to cease the suffering. Okay, so cease the vexation. 那我们凡夫呢，就是按照这个顺序，就是一直运作哈，一直运作，一直累积哈业力啊。但是对于修行人来讲呢，他是逆向操作的哈，他是逆转，用逆转的方式来来断烦恼哈，来破无明哈。那这个我们之前也有分析过哈。So then we talk about the action of eight consciousness. First we have five organs, right? We have eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and then we interact with this environment, the so-called color, sound, smell, taste, touch. Okay. And then so these two interact, and then we generate the first to five consciousness. And this information are processed by the six consciousness. The first five consciousness only take message. It's just like a detector. And whatever the message they have, they detect. And then tell you, okay, I got this information. But the ability to tell you that, oh, this is this person, I saw it before. I know where to go. You know, all this are processed by the six consciousness that, because its major job is to make discrimination, make judgment, and make decision. Okay. And then how the six consciousness make decision? What is the information that the six consciousnesses can base on is the eight consciousness. So all the seeds, all the information are equally stored in the eight consciousness for the six consciousness to link, to recall. But the seventh consciousness played an important role to tell the sixth consciousness that which information you can get. Okay. For example, when we see water, when human eyes see water, it's a transparent material, transparent liquid material. And when humans' eyes see the transparent material, and the eye consciousness, the sixth consciousness processed based on humans' karmic seeds that attached by the seventh consciousness. So the sixth consciousness only can get the information of human karma and tell you that, okay, this transparent liquid is drinkable and it's what you need and you need it to survive. Okay? If this is for heavenly beings, what they see, the water, is crystal, is beautiful crystal. And what ghosts see, the same thing, H2O, is blood, is bloody things that cannot drink. Okay, because the seventh consciousness of heavenly being or ghost, they grasped a different group of seeds to provide the sixth consciousness to make discrimination and make judgment. Okay, 那所以呢，在这个巴斯的这个 运作的过程呢，我们知道说这个五根呢，它接触到这个五尘的时候呢，它只是一个接受器，哈，然后它接受外面的一个讯息，好，然后呢，它是经由第六识来做分别判断，好，那第六识用基于什么来做分别判断呢？基于第八识，好，里面的种子所储存的种子，告诉你说这是什么东西，但是第八识里面什么东西都存，它有所有的种子，哈。的六道十法界的种子全部在里面，但是六识去抓哪一个种子，哪一类的种子呢？是决定在第七识的执着。好，假设第七识执着，假设我们的业报身，好，是生而为人，那我们的第七识呢，就会执着，好，这个人的这个我是我，那他就会去抓第八识里面人的种子、业报种子、业种子，好，那个那一大群的业人的业种子，就说，哎，这个就是我，这就是我，好。那第六识呢，他要判断的时候呢，他的在他的这个电脑里面，哈，就是他的机器里面呢，他就说，哦，那他就是用人的这个业种子来判断说，这个东西进来的是什么东西，好，啊，可不可以吃？等等，哈，那所以假设以水来当例子，哈，所以我们人的眼睛看到水就是一个透明的液体，哈，那一进来之后呢，这个第六识呢，哈，去抓我们人，哈，因为水对于人来讲它就是可以喝的一个水，而是我们身体需要生存所需要的一个液体，哈，那所以我们的眼睛进来的这个讯息呢，第六识基于第八识的人的业种子，他就告诉，好，告诉我们说，这是水可以喝，而且你需要喝，好，才可以生存下去。那对于天人来讲呢？天人来讲呢，他的第八识抓，第七识抓第八识的这个业种子给第六识的呢，是什么？他告诉他说，哦，这个讯息一进来，他说这个水是什么？是琉璃。好。那如果对鬼呢，鬼道的众生看到同样的 H2O， 他 process 的结果是说，这是一个脓血，不能吃的，这脓血。好，所以呢，这个我们的业，我们有在我们的过去的 talk 有分享到这个过程，那我今天只是 briefly 跟大家分，就是再复习一下，I just briefly summarize what we have learned. If you want to know the detail, you can go back to the audio and to listen what's going on here. But this is our psychological analysis of our process of the mind. So based on the information we process based from the sea pools in the eighth consciousness. And that's and the other thing is, for example, if I like someone, and then he like to sing a song, that I think is very beautiful. So whenever I hear that song, I think of that person. That's also the process of the eighth consciousness, is I hear a song, but the sixth consciousness will grab the memory in the eighth consciousness, say, oh, this is a beautiful song, and it will link to that person you like. So every time you hear that person, you hear the song, you think of that person, and everything is so beautiful. Same thing, if someone you don't like, you know,And the song becomes, you know, I don't like this song. And it's because your karmic seeds has different kinds of memory there. And so in our whole life, we are all make our judgment, we make our discrimination, like, dislike, based on the discrimination of six consciousness according to what the seeds we have in the eighth consciousness. 那同样的哈，比如说有一首我很喜欢某一个人哈啊，那他唱某一个歌很好听，好，他以前常常唱那个歌给我听。那从此以后呢，我只要听到那一首歌，我就想起他，然后我就很快乐，我就觉得很高兴，对不对？那是什么原因呢？因为这个声音你听到之后，它只是一个声音，可是呢，这个耳识呢，传给第六识的时候，第六识去抓到第八识里面快乐的记忆，好啊，然后每次听到那个歌，那第六识就跟他说 ，This is very good， 这是非常好的一首歌。然后那个人是我喜欢的人，就这样一起出来了哈。所以我们一生当中，从春生到死，就不断的又这样子的在做判断、做决定，哈，来过生活。Yes。Okay. Question.Okay, I know your question. Maybe later.
The second one's even easier. It's, you know, sometimes if we see someone, like a, even stranger people, you feel very, sometimes you feel like very connected, sometimes you feel like very kind of disconnected. But that form is like brand new. So how could you recognize that familiarity? And,
Because, did you hear the question? You know, like, In the eighth consciousness, we do store different kinds of seeds based on our past, what we have stored in there. For example, if you store very strong wholesome or unwholesome seeds that you react to certain things or certain people, then when you're in the current life,If you encounter that thing or that people again, it's easily that your eighth consciousness will provide information to the sixth consciousness and immediately tell you, this is very good or this is not good. And you make judgment, you like it or you don't like it. Sometimes we will say it's instinct, you know, but actually the so-called instinct is operated by the eighth consciousness and the sixth consciousness.The collaboration between the two. Okay, 那问题就是说，在我们第八识里面，它是不是有存在有不同的讯息哈？那当然是的，因为我们过去是每个人存的讯息都不太一样哈。那要回答第二个问题哈，就是说我们过去是假设有强烈的哈，对某个人或事情或物。好，有强烈的喜欢或不喜欢，或是有强烈的一种心所的一个活动呢哈，那他在第八世就很容易哈，就是你今生不知道为什么，我第一次遇到这个人事物，然后我马上的我就知道我喜欢我不喜欢，或是跟他有连结哈，那这就是因为第八世的这个种子很强烈，他马上就跳出来了哈。就马上告诉你第六识要怎么判断，那有很多人就会解释说这就是我的 instinct， 叫做什么英中文啊，直觉还是什么，好，我就不喜欢他，好，这样子我就觉得这个很危险，我就觉得这个对我有害，好，那他其实是第八识跟第六识合作的结果了哈。 OK， so now If you have some question that is just related to the eighth consciousness itself, I suggest that you can go back to the talk and we have explanation there. And eighth consciousness, and now the 51 mental factor. Okay, we have universal and a specific particular mental factor. I'm not going to go to the detail.It's object determinant. But remember that we have 11 wholesome mental factor. Means, you know, something happen, the sixth consciousness can initiate some wholesome mind that can do good things to react to what you have encountered. And then on the other hand, we can also initiate so-called unwholesome factors that we have explained before. And there are some is called unfixed or indeterminate. It's not good or bad, but it can affect how this wholesome and unwholesome mind process last. Okay. 那我们有讲到五十一个心所，就是八识在启动的过程之中，比如说好了，你知道你不喜欢这个人，或是你喜欢这个人，对不对？那你就会去启动说接下去我怎么办，很生气，还是很恨，还是很怎么样，还是说哇爱得要死，或是怎么样，就是这五十一个心所里面就是第二层，就去启动它。那我们有五十一种，那这种是五片行跟五别境，这个我们也不再做解释，但是就是再强调一下，我们有十一种善法，有十一种，就哎呀，我要怎么样，我要精进，有没有，我要惭愧，我要怎么样怎么样 去修行。那我们还有这么多种是叫做什么烦恼，有根本烦恼、随烦恼，总共有什么二十六种烦恼。就是说哎呀，我很贪嗔痴慢疑不正见嘛，是六根本烦恼，然后里面又有好多好多的东西。 So we will see in the next diagram. Okay, so when our organ encounter the environment, we generate a sixth consciousness to have discrimination, and then we can either choose to initiate wholesome mental factor or initiate so-called affliction mental factor. And affliction mental factor has six, the ignorance, the craving, the hatreds, etc. And through the six fundamental affliction mental factor, we can further generate eight major affliction factor, two intermediate affliction factor, and 10 minor unwholesome mind factor. Okay, I'm not going to go to the detail. So this process is just to remind us that once we get the information and we make judgment based on what we have stored in our database, then we will further generate some emotion, some psychological, emotional reactions. And so for practitioner, they can aware of this and stop right there. Okay. But for ordinary people, we just go further. This first level of vexation, second level of vexation, and further down, and generate more and more negative seeds to bury in the eighth consciousness. So that's the reminder for us, you know, to stop, you know, because you have to get to the origin of the vexation, and don't follow your judgment or discrimination. 那这里呢，就是告诉我们说，当我们的六根五根接触五尘的时候呢，我们的第六识看要遇到境界的时候从第八识里面的这个 data 里面去做判断的时候呢，第六识就要开始启动了因为它是很强的这个启动者他看要是往善的还是要往烦恼这边去那大部分我们都是往烦恼去对吧，那烦恼就是有六个根本烦恼嘛，贪嗔痴慢疑不正见然后就有什么大随烦恼、中随烦恼、小随烦恼，一层一层的加，然后就烦恼很久很久，再产生更多的不好的种子，再把它种回第八识，然后不好的事情就更变得更不好。那对我们修行人来讲，就是我们知道这个我们心识的一个操作过程，在我们要启动这个心锁的时候最好就能够立刻停止。就算我们真来不及了已经在大中水小水烦恼全部启动了那也要能够说有一天快点觉悟 说这下惨了，赶快停住。Okay, and here, let's talk about the Western psychology. Okay, you all know the Freudian personality structure, right? The iceberg structure. To analyze the human existence. Okay, so here is the term, the so-called ID, ego, and superego. Okay, so this is the iceberg. The surface one out is called consciousness. It's very primitive. So it's like, you know, newborn baby. You know, they have a sense of I, but the I is just like primitive desire. I'm hungry and I want to eat. You know, I'm thirsty, I want to drink. I want this, I want that, based on our basic need. And the desire is based on the basic need. So it's very primitive. But there is still ID, the I, develop, because I want to survive. So I need things. And then under the water, there is so-called ego that we start to develop over the age. It's called pre-consciousness. This is operates according to the reality principles. It's mediates between ID and superego. So, for example, when we grew up, you know, like I think the kids at the age of 2, they start to tell you, I like this and I don't like this, right? They tell parents, they start to make judgment. Because through learning, they start to accumulate experience, and based on the experience, they make judgment, and then they strengthen their egoness. Okay, and then the third one is called superego. It's moral ideas and consciousness. It's even further down to the water. Okay, I search different diagram for this model. I got different kinds of structure, but the superego is through education or through ethical learning, that in deep down in our mind, you know, even though I want this very much, but you know, I cannot steal. This is immoral. It's not ethical. So I will stop my desire and say, I cannot. I have to earn it, not steal it. Okay. So here, this figure is very clear. You know, the ID, I want it now. The baby just cried right away. You know, they tell you right away their desire or their need, right? And then when we growing up a little bit, and the ego say, I need to do a bit of planning to get it. You know, I'm hungry. Then first, I need to ask mother. And we need to negotiate with mother. Even though it's not a meal time, can I eat something right now? You know, and when the mommy tell you, can't you wait? And they can wait. Okay. And then, but if you like the toys that your neighbor's kids has, you know, you cannot just grab it. And mommy tell you that you can't have it. It's not right to just take other people's things. You know. And so this is called ID, ego, and superego. And but... Huh? I don't know. It's ID? Id. Okay, Latin here. It's not ID. It's pronounced id. Okay. 那所以这边就是图就告诉我们说哈，就是在刚开始 id 哈，就是说小孩小 baby 的时候就说，哎呦我要我肚子饿，我马上就哭了，我不会等，哈，我怎么样的，我就马上告诉你了哈。然后长大之后就说，哎，我现在不是吃饭的时间，我可以吃吗？我肚子饿。 然后说等一下哈，马上就要吃饭了，再等一下啊，你就会等一下，对不对？那比如说你看到隔壁邻居的孩子那个玩具这么好，他就说诶，我要拿来玩一玩，不可以呢，那是别人的东西，你不可以就把它拿来玩，你要告诉别人，跟人家借。那他就是所谓的 it ego and super ego 哈。那在这边呢 ，so the Freudist theory is that you know from the beginning we have it。And then we develop ego, and then we develop super ego. Okay. Probably you cannot see it. This just want to show you, you know, the conscious level above the sea level is the thought. And the perception, okay. And under the sea, there is memory, the store knowledge, and there is the fears and doubt. It's called preconsciousness level. And there is so-called unconscious level, selfish motives, aggression, socially unacceptable, and desire. It's even deeper under the water. So if you think, oh, I have some problem, I need to go to psychiatrist, usually they use this process to dig your problem. So maybe you cannot get along with your spouse, or you have difficulty taking care of your children's problem, and you go to the psychiatrist. And they will start to ask you a whole bunch of questions. Basically, they try to find out, you know, what's in your mind? What's your memory? And then they start to find what's your fear or doubt. And get deeper and deeper and let you know that, you know, the problem is that you feel this or you have some, you know, desire or something, you know, and then hope that this kind of discovery can help you let go the problem or vexation you have or the difficulty you have. 那这个是我找到的一个就是他想要就是我们心理的作用的层次齁，这是目前西方心理学里面。那因为我们比较浮在海面上的齁，就是我们的什么我们的想法齁，跟我们的这个什么认知齁，想法跟认知是最明显的齁。然后呢慢慢的再往下呢就是有你的记忆齁，还有你储存的一些知识。那更深一层呢就有你的恐惧跟怀疑齁。然后再更深一层呢就是你比较自私自我的一种动机。或是比较那个 aggression 是什么，就是侵略性的一种动机齁。然后再更深一层的时候，你就是可能是你比较内在很深的欲望，或是说对，就是说被社会不，就是怕被这个社会不能接受的一种恐惧，一种状况齁。那心理学的它的一个操作模式，一个分析的方式呢，它就是从你比如说你跟你的先生不能相处了，或是你跟亲子有问题了，就是吵架不行了，我要去看心理医生，因为我已经快要什么忧郁症了，所以你去看心理医生了。心理医生呢他基本上就是一直问你很多很多的问题，那问你很多的问题基本上他就是首先他要慢慢的先从看看你过去到底累积的什么东西，是有什么记忆，你到底你的脑子里储存了什么东西在里面齁。然后再往下一层，他会探究你到底恐惧什么，你害怕什么，好，你的疑惑是什么。然后再慢慢的他会探究你的一种比较自我的自私的动机，或是你的企图心是什么。然后再更深一层的就沿着这个这样一直挖下去。然后在这个挖的这个过程之中，你就会慢慢的去反省自己，然后你就知道说原来我的问题是什么， 那当你发现你自己的问题是什么的时候，你就不会被那个现象的烦恼一直抓着，然后你就自己就变得那么忧郁嘛。So sometimes depression is because we are dragging by all this problem, but we will catch, you know, by the thought, the negative thought and the negative perception we have, and threaten, and so we got depressed. But we never find a way to get deep down in our mind to find why I generate this kind of thought, and why I have such kind of vexation, why I get angry. You know, we need to go find the origin of the problem and then let go and not attach to the surfaced problem. That's the psychological principle for therapy. Okay, 那所以一般人都是从表面的嘛，这个我的念头，我的什么，我的解读，然后就一直在那里绕得不停，就他就是坏，他就是对我坏，好，然后就一直讲，一直想，想到变成这个忧郁症。好，那我们就要开始探索说，为什么他。我为什么那么生气？他这样对我，我为什么那么生气？好，我是在恐惧什么吗？好，还是说我有一个欲望，他破坏了我的欲望？好，然后一直深层去探讨，然后终于发现说啊，其实是庸人自扰之嘛，哈。那这是一般哈一个标准的，就是心理治疗的一个哈一个过程哈，就从表面一直到冰山的底层，然后让我们知道说问题的所在哪里。And I'm glad that I find out this diagram. It's by William Reed. He specialized in applying practical wisdom from Japanese and Asian culture to solving the problems of modern business and living. Okay, and then I think he learned something about eight consciousness. And so he put Fred's idea and the other person called Carl Jung. Okay. They are very famous psychologists. And he put together the both idea together with the eight consciousness. So you see the outside is first to fifth consciousness, and it's called five sensory, or five sensory consciousness. And the second layer is the sixth consciousness, which we make discrimination. It's called, how to pronounce it? But it's none here. Edition, okay, whatever. Ed, okay. Ed consciousness, okay, is related to our sixth consciousness, okay. And then the third level is called ego consciousness, which is related to our seventh consciousness. And the C consciousness is related to our eighth consciousness. Okay. And this Mr. William Reed, I believe he is a doctor. He thinks that Fred's theory is deepest touch the seventh consciousness, and Carl Jung touch the eighth consciousness. But you know, I'm not an expert about these two psychological studies, so I just stop here. But here, you know, the five sense I think no problem. And the sixth is our conscious thought. It related to a level of consciousness that we make up the conscious mind, and that we are mostly aware of. And the subconscious mind, which has seventh and eighth, is the mana. It's called obscuration and or shadow for the seventh, and the eighth is called storehouse. But my personal understanding is that the mana, well, we can call it shadow, but I think it has more meaning, because Western psychology only resolved the current life problem. They did not explain the past and future. So I think the eighth consciousness school explained the eighth consciousness more widely and deeply, and try to explain the present and past and future. Although this school, the consciousness only school, only think that we have present moment. Okay. 那这里呢，就是有一个学者哈，他是专门把这个日本跟亚洲的这个文化哈的一个智慧，专门要来帮助这个现代人的这个事业啊，还有生活的问题，处理这些生活跟事业问题的一个学者呢。他很高兴找到这张图呢，他是把现代的就是弗洛伊德跟这个。Carl Jung的这个这两个有名的心理学家的一个理论呢，跟巴士呢就放在一起了哈。那所以第一层呢，好，就是我们的这个感官的这个心事呢，那就是大家都是共同有的。那从这个弗洛伊德的这个 id 这个 level 呢，它就是第六识，好，然后就是它就是很直觉的一个判断哈。那第七世呢，就是变成是 ego 的这个心事。那他第八世种子世呢，他觉得就是比如说 super ego 或是 super consciousness 这样子。所以他觉得说弗洛伊德的理论呢，可以到有研究到第七心事哈。那他觉得这个Jung的这个理论有 touch 到第八心事了哈。那当然，因为我不是学这个心理学的这个专家哈，我只是提出来说，哎，有人可已经把我们唯识学的这个理论跟现代的心理学呢哈结合在一起了哈。那至于呢，我个人哈，我个人的感受是这样子，就是说，第七个次跟第八次哈，它因为不是很容易觉察的，那它的作用是更维系的哈，它可以甚至解读过去为过去现在未来哈。但是呢，我又要再强调说，唯识学呢，它只承认当下，又很奇怪哈，它的理论可以解释过去现在未来，可是它只承认当下 present moment。好，只有现在是存在的，好，因为一切唯心所造，你的心在现在，你只能 create 现在的世界，你不能去 create 过去的世界，过去已经过去的，但是它的种子存在你的八识里面，好，所以这是一个就是再强调一下的一个观念哈。 OK, I don't think I have time to go through this, just a briefly,you know, like eighth consciousness, how eighth consciousness interact with the seventh and sixth consciousness. Basically, it's the eighth consciousness is the center, and it has a subject part and object part. When the seed manifests or the seed starts sprouting, okay, it has subjectivity and objectivity, which are grasped by the seventh consciousness to the subjectivity part.And the objectivity part is all grasped by the sixth consciousness. Okay, so this is the mental process in our mind. But I have to emphasize, this is a mind, has different levels of attachment and do different job. But this is one mind, okay? One mind, but we do different things. It's not a different, it's not, you know, we divided our mind in eight parts.It's not like that. It's a mind. It's just that based on the stimuli inside or outside that, you know, how our mind react to those stimuli and how we process the information. We only have one mind, okay? 那这个就是巴士的这个一个图齁。那就是主要是以巴士为主 齁，八识为主之后，他当他种子现前的时候，他有见分跟相分嘛，齁。那见分是被第七识执着，相分被第六识执着，齁。然后五识就一直传信息进来。那我要强调，我们的心只有一个心，齁，不是说我们的心把它切成八份，这份去做这个，这份做这个，齁，不是这个样子的。我们的心有八，就是说有八种功能，那不同层、不同的深度，哈，的细微度不同。那只是说，当我们的心在有讯息进来的时候，不管这个讯息是从内在来的还是外在来的讯息，所谓的外在，哈，身体外来的讯息，那这些讯息进来之后呢，我们就是启动看我们心的哪一个部、心的哪一种功能要去回应好这些讯息，然后我们怎么去操作我们的心，去怎么样 process 这些讯息，然后我们去启动我们的身口意业，好，那只是不同一个心有不同的功能，好。It's just like you, when you go to work, you are employee, you have boss. When you go home, you are father or mother, or you are the kids.Of your parents, and when you go to a party, you are friends. You have different, and you operate different parts of your mind to do, to play as an employee or to play as a father or children or a friend. You know, it's just like you are still you, but because you have different situation, you operate.differently, okay. 那就打个比喻齁，这只是比喻，就是说你有很多不同身份嘛，你去工作，你就是职员，对不对？那你回到家，你可能是爸爸妈妈或是小孩，那你去 party 的时候跟朋友一起玩，那你就扮演不同的角色，你就会启动不同的身份齁，去做你该做的事嘛，齁。这只是一个比喻齁，所以就是说我们的心就是啊，反正啊，味道来了就闻一闻辨别一下齁，啊，就是你到看要怎么样程度，你就是启动不同的一个新的部分齁。OK, let's now quickly go here. We've talked about, the 100 Dharma, the mind, the consciousness and the mental factors. Actually, the current, the modern, study, the psychologies, study this part, related to, this part. But how about the form and the so-called, the non-cognizable part? And this is where science, get connected to this part. And it's very important, and I think it might be a breakthrough for our perception of existence or universe, okay?那在这一百法里面，我们讲的这个八识心王跟五识一个心所呢，哈，在现代的一个学术里面，我就是心理学哈，在这方面开始就探讨的很细微哈。但是我现在要提出来的就是说，在色法跟不相应行法的这个部分呢，是科学哈，科学实验要开始进入的地方。好，那这个地方也将是一个，我觉得是一个。瓶颈，它会打开我们对于存在以及世界的认知，会有一个超越跳脱系的一个瓶颈，哈，这是非常重要的。This is the major thing that I want to share you today, okay? This professor, Dr. Robert Lanza, he was elected for the, last year,the 100 most influential people in the world. Okay. He majorly, what he is famous for is the stem cell study. Very good and very, pioneer and very outstanding professor. But this book, Biocentrism, when he submit this book to the publisher, the manuscript to the publisher,In this book, he said that. The publisher told him that you'd better not to publish a book until you retire. Why? Because this will ruin your career. Because all the concept he proposed here is too wild, too hard for scientists to digest, you know. And this will ruin your career, you know, your famous career. And he say, I don't care. Because I want to publish this when I was still young, a little kid. This is all I want for this life. What I can contribute majorly to this world. And because I want to publish this idea, I make myself become a doctor, a professor, and research, scientist research, the reason, the purpose of, for all my, I'm doing this is I want to publish this book. Okay. So this is very, I found it very, very, profound and very, inspiring. Okay. 那这个 professor 叫 Robert Lanza 哈，他被2014年哈《时代》杂志哈选择100位对世界最有贡献的人，你们就知道他多有贡献。但他贡献的地方是什么呢？他研究干细胞，好是先驱，好是一个先创者，好这而且他的研究是对世界非常有贡献的哈。但是我要今天提的一本书呢，叫 Biocentrism 呢，他却跟这个干细胞没有什么关系哈。那他在这书里面讲到说，他把这个手稿哈拿去给书店的时候哈，那书店的那个负责人跟他说，我建议你这本书哈，等你退休以后再发表了哈。为什么呢？因为他说你可能哈，你会你的事业哈，你的名声会受影响哈，因为这里面他提出来的一些观念哈。对于现代人来讲是非常非常难接受的，而且是没有直接科学证据的，有些是他小时候的一些体验。那他就跟他说，帕里奇说，我不在乎，我从小就想发表这个 idea， 我为什么让我自己成为医生教授做研究，我的主要目标就是要告诉世人这件事情，所以我不 care， 所以他就发表了哈。 And he also have some videos on YouTube. You can check it out. 那他有很多的演讲哈。 So I want to get you to the idea that the major things, the so-called biocentrism, the major idea is that life creates the universe rather than the other way around. Okay?And the theory that is built on quantum physics, and this theory placed biology before the other science. And actually, he thinks that the consciousness produces everything. Okay.那在这个理论里面呢，最重要的是他觉得世界是生命所创造的哈。你看这个 bio means life, centrism means center. So in the past, you know, one time we think the earth is the center of the universe. Then we shift and we realize the sun is the center. And if we found out thatYou know, we have many solar system. The solar system is not the center. Okay. But here he proposed that life is the center of the universe. 那这里就讲说其实生命才是宇宙的中心。好。然后他觉得他这个理论齁是也不是没有科学根据的齁。他现在用量子力学齁的一些实验成果，还有一些理论齁，还有一些假设，他大胆地提出了这样的一个说法哈。 And overall, you can read the books, but overall, there are 7 points that he pointed out, but I'm not going to share with you sequentially. The number 3, 4, 5, he said that the behavior of subatomic particles, indeed, all particles and object is linked to the presence of an observer. In other words, without a conscious observer, there is no universe. And if no observers, everything that exists is an undetermined state of probability waves. Okay? And also, without consciousness, matter dwelled in an undetermined state of probability. Any universe that could have preceded consciousness only exists in a probability state. And the fifth is the structure of the universe is explainable only through biocentrism. The universe is fine-tuned for life, which makes perfect sense as life creates the universe, not the other way around. The universe is simply the complete spatial-temporal logic of the self. OK, 那这边讲到的就是说他其实是在告诉我们说什么，他说哈 Observer, 如果没有一个有意识的观察者，所有的存在都只是一个什么，一个 probability, 一个 probability, 中文怎么讲，几率，嘿，是一个几率的波动，以 几率的波动，好，然后呢他说所谓的物质呢，好，就是这样，如果没有，就是说没有意识的存在，它就是一个波动的状，一个几率的存在，好，一个在几率的状态。然后呢他说只有这个 biocentric 人可以解释这个世界的这个结构，好，那也就是说其实宇宙就是一种我的自我的一种逻辑，一个我的逻辑，这对我来讲，对我们唯识学来讲就是很相应的。 So this correlated our concept for the consciousness only principle, okay? And let's get back to the so-called that we have 24 that not cognizableDharma, remember that? Okay, I plan to share with you some of this idea, but I have no time. Okay, let's get here, directly to here. So there is a space, time, and number. These are not cognizable Dharma. For example, zero. Do you think zero exists?那我这边好在讲说我们24个心不相应法，我本来有好几个要分享，但是我们现在没时间了哈。讲方时数就是空间、时间跟数目啊，这个概念哈，它其实也是一种法，可是它是没有办法认知的哈，不是就是不是心事，也不是心所，好，也不是物质。的一种法哈，比如说零哈，零到底存不存在 ？Does zero exist? No. Why? If there is no zero, then nothing exists. But zeros is nothing. Okay. So I found in the Yahoo.Discussion, you know, that the people discuss. And the best answer for this question, you know, does zero exist? First of all, two things can be said about zero. First is that zero does exist. And the second is that zero does not exist. Okay. And because zero has the ability to become both, without zero, there could never be one.There is only one thing larger than the whole of the known universe. That larger thing is zero, which is nothing. Zero, which surrounds the universe. And without the value of zero, there could be no universe. Zero means nothing. Yet without nothing, there could be no something.Zero is intricately locked into and onto all things. This is why zero has both no value and also some value. Everything is affected by either something or by nothing else. including your breath. Okay. So the concept of zero is, yes?
Could you define what you mean by exist? I think that this argument, I'm sorry, I don't want to throw my
okay.
head, but this kind of argument is interesting, and it, but a lot of it, it just comes down to what you think that word means. Exist. Does something exist? You're using human language. There's a word there, exist. What does it actually refer to?
The concept. Not the
does
word.
Does the word, well, okay, fine, but you tell me what the concept is in greater detail. And as you do so, you will be using words. And we get into an almost infinite regress because I then have to ask you, well, what do these new words you're using mean? What does all this mean? And so, I mean, in a way, what this question is a question which has to do with what human beings are capable of understanding.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes,
it's not
yes.
like, you know, look, if I say, does this cane exist? Most people have the idea, can get the idea of what I'm talking about. It's a physical object.
Mm-hmm.
So is it here or isn't it here in the physical universe? And most people would say, oh, yeah, well, it's there. Certainly, if I'm talking to my wife and I'm saying, where's my cane? She doesn't get into an argument about whether the cane exists or not.
Well,
she goes and gets
okay,
the cane.
I have to come back. I know your question is, you know, the cane, the people, belongs to the form. Form, you know, what I'm talking about here is the non-cognizable Dharma. And one of the examples is number. So I start with 0, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The number actually is a concept that human created. That's my point. I'm not going to, you know, like get into, because there's a debating here on the website. You know, people debate. But I know scientifically, I bought a book, I can't find it right now. It's a long time ago, like 20 years ago. I bought a book, it's the author is a UCLA professor. From scientific point of view, there is no zero. It's approximately to zero. But all our calculation based on zero and one, right? And this is very important for us to interpretate all the scientific phenomena, the number and the zero and the one. And I want to point out here is that the number here is a concept that we human created. Okay, yes. Can you give him microphone?
The number zero was invented, I believe, by the Arabs, in the Arabic culture.
Yes.
They were the first people who came up when they were thinking about numbers and math. They were the first people who came up with the idea of, well, let's have a number that like zero, and they had certain ideas about what that meant, and which were they wanted to do it because of doing it. Was useful. You could then do other things that before
yes.
you couldn't really do, right? But it's very much a practical thing, you know? And
yeah, but
it's very much a creation of human intellect.
Yes, that's exactly the point, that human creation. But for other universe in other sentient beings, that it's different. Okay, that's only human has it, okay, yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that for most people don't understand that concept. They think of zero. They think of zero, they think of time, they think of space as permanent, as absolutes,
mm-hmm.
as form.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, I think the transformation of a person in the spiritual evolution is to get past that concept to be able to see that time is a construct. It's a mental construct. Number is a mental construct.
Yes.
And I guess that's more the conversation that we're having.
Yes. So I think we all agreed upon the one thing is that the number is a concept that we human created. And so based on that, we have all kinds of equation, you know, to explain the phenomena we observe. The problem is we need to get to the core of the foundation, this assumption of the number, and we can, if we can break through the concept, the concrete concept of number, and maybe the universe that we interpret is different. Okay, that's I think that's the point I want to point out. It's not like, you know, the argument. I just found out it's very interesting for ordinary people to perceive the zero and one, and it's very interesting to me. 那我们刚刚在讲的哈，就是在讲说这个零啊，对一般人来讲，它的一个概念是什么？那当然，我们刚刚在讨论的时候，其实我们的共识还是说，零跟一其实是我们人哦创造出来的，让我们可以去解释这是宇宙世间的一切现象。好，所以我们有很多数学的公式，有没有？啊，去解释这个什么一加一等于二啊，哈，这所有的东西，那我们世间的一些定律都要靠这个零跟一，哈，还有这数字来分析、来解读嘛，哈。那可是其实零跟一，它其实是我们创造出来的。And I want to share it, Dr. Lanza's theory is actually here about the time and space. Okay, it's also a creation of human beings.Okay, that gentleman just point out. First, what we perceive as reality is a process that involves our consciousness. An external reality, if it exists, would by definition have to exist in space. But this is meaningless because space and time are not absolute reality, but rather tools of human and animal minds. Okay.And second, our external and internal perceptions are inextricably intertwined. They are different sides of the same coin and cannot be divorced from one another. Okay. And next, time does not have a real existence outside of animal sense perception. It is the process by which we perceive changes in the universe.Changes, okay? Space, like time, is not an object or a thing. Space is another form of our animal understanding and does not have an independent reality. We carry space and time around with us like turtles with shells. Thus, there is no absolute self-existing matrix in which physical events occur independent of life.OK, 那这主要在前面一章跟这边一章讲的哈，就是在讲说时间跟空间到底是不是事实，是不是真正的存在。然后他强调的说，这其实是我们哦，我们人啊，为了要测量变化，事情有变化，为了要测量变化产生的一个概念。因为事情有变化，所以我们可以测量它的是什么？时间的改变跟空间的改变。所以在我们的心识里面，好，我们有了空间跟时间的改变，那我们就有过去、现在、未来，对不对？然后就有很多很多的事情，因为时间跟空间，好，那我们产生了很多的一个宇宙世间现象的一个解读，好，就完全不一样了，哈。So, For Zen practitioner, we know that we always say that, you know, time and space does not exist. You know, when it's only when we have a perception of time is because the thought, we connect it. And we think that this is a previous thought and this is my next thought. It's connected. It's related. So it's connected. So there is time. There's a change, right?And so it becomes time, okay? And actually, you only have current thought. When the thought's gone, it's gone, okay? But we connect it. So that's why we have vexations. We have memories. We have all kinds of seeds because we have the concept of time and space. So the way we go beyond the vexation is not like, you know, we analyze this thing. You know, these people is actually not that bad. You know, you can like it. You can like him. It's not like that. It's like you think he is real. You think what he say is real. And that's why we generate vexations. Okay. 那我要讲的是说，其实我们禅宗在常常在讲，有没有？念头。为什么我们时间跟空间是不存在的？可是为什么我们会觉得存在呢？是因为我们一个一个一个的念头，我们觉得它是相续不断，它是连结的。好，可是在禅宗当它修正到很深的时候呢，它可以，它的念头不再连结的时候，时间跟空间是不存在的。以前我们常常听不懂啊，禅师到底在讲什么东西。好，他们都是因为他们超越了时间跟空间的概念的时候，他们看到的世界，他们讲出来的东西就觉得，哎，这是什么道理？听不懂。好 ，Okay, so, you know, like the time, the idea, or in actuality, for philosopher, it's idea in the mind. Okay, and for physics.It's all working models for reality from Newton's laws to Einstein's field equation through quantum mechanics have no need for time. For physics, the basic, theory has no need for time. The time is a concept looking for a function except when we are speaking about a change, as in acceleration, but change is not the same thing as time. Okay. So even physics study, we don't need time. Only when we need to measure the change. So the change is the key. But the change is impermanent. All the change is impermanent. And nothing persists. The thing we worry about, nothing persists. Okay? That's the key. 所以就是说即便是物理学家对时间的解读，像牛顿跟爱因斯坦的基本理论，它是没有时间的。好、哦、，E 等于 mc 的平方，有没有？没有时间嘛？哈、哦，它时间存在是因为它要测量变化，好、哦，就是速度的改变，好、哦，或是什么？要测量变化的时候，时间才存在。好、哦，所以只要有变化的东西，它就是无常的。它就不是永恒存在的，它就是什么生住异灭的幻象，那我们就不需要执着它，这是最主要要讲的东西。 And lastly, so you know, things change, things is permanent, so there is no need to attach it to it. And what we need to continue to discover is the core, the purewisdom and compassion we have that is everlasting, not change, and exists everywhere. That's our core practice. And so the last I would like to Dr. Mitchell, okay, he is the sixth astronaut who landed on the moon, okay. And when he traveling back to Earth, on the Apollo 14, okay, he has a very special experience, the feeling of total unity and oneness with everything that exists. Because of this special experience, he started to try to find philosophies or a principle that can explain his experience. This professor has direct experience.And he tried to find an answer. And so he found a so-called Institute of Neotic Science, okay, since 1973. And he wanted to study consciousness, the life and the universe, okay. And here is some comments. And he has a dialogue with our Shifu, and there is a booklet. If you want to know the detail, go find a booklet, in the reception area. 那这个太空人哈，他是第六位登上月亮的哈。那他呢，在回地球的这个路上要回地球的过程之中，他忽然有一个什么，师父解释成一个大我的经验哈。他发现他跟所有的宇宙、所有的存在是一体的， 这样的一个非常特殊的一个经验，对他，他是 MIT 跟 Harvard training 出来的 PhD 超级科学家，非常 intelligent 的一个科学家，他不能解释这样的一个经验，他开始找各种宗教各种哲学想要起来解释他的一个体验。那后来他就在就在1973年他就成立了一个这个中心专门要研究心事与存在的一种一个研究他现到现在还在促成一些各种不同的研究那主要也是 quantum physics. So their major studies still focus on quantum physics. They want to provide the data to show the idea of what he experienced. Okay. So here are some comments that he gave. Okay. After he has such kind of experience, he think it is a personal comment, not scientific data. Okay. Personal comment, he said, the Big Bang Theory is on its way out.
The Big Bang.
Theory.
B-A-N-G,
sorry. The Big Bang Theory is on its way out. Time is, all A-L-L-L. Okay. So many typos. Time is all local measures, which we created on Earth in our own presence. Nature itself only knows process and sequence. It does not measure. Mind, matter does interact. Idea is the matter is just compressed energy and the information patterns of energy and the ability to use it is consciousness. 好，他的结论，他的个人经过那次特殊的体验之后呢，他个人他说他强调不是科学的证据他说这个我们常常讲宇宙的生成不是 Big Bang 吗他说这个不是已经落伍了，一定会被He said this in 1973, okay. Big Bang is on way out. 然后他说时间呢它只是一个我们人创造出来的。那自然他自己他只知道过程跟结果他不会想要去测量是我们想测量所以有了时间的这个概念。然后他觉得心跟物是互相作用的因为什么物体它只是一个比较浓缩的能量然后所有的讯息所有的讯息色声香味触有没有所有的讯息进来只是一个能量的模式进来那有能力用它的就是我们的心思那是不是这个世界是我们宇宙创造假设没有我们的心思所有的存在都是一种波动的几率对不对 So without consciousness, this universe does not exist. It only exists as the probability of energy. The color, the shape, the smell is only an electric magnetic wave. If you know, study the science about vision, the touching, the neural things, it is, okay?Okay, right, good. Last slide. Get back to our purpose, okay? We understand all this. If you are a scientist, that's good. Go back to study and bring us some breakthrough information so that we can break our concept of all this limitation and we can go beyond. But for ordinary people, we are practitioners. Remember the path.From ordinary people to Buddhas, the path is a long journey. And the eighth consciousness from Alaya to Vipaka to Adana, all this we have to keep let go. Let go of what? Let go of the self, the concept of self, and different level of self. One group of level is the self.Is generated by our discrimination and judgment. Okay, we let go this part. And then further down, we need to let go of the self that innately arrives, which was attached by the seventh consciousness. And through the practice of the sixth and seventh, the purification or the transform of the sixth and seventh consciousness, the first to five, the first to fifth, and also the eighth consciousness, it automatically transform into pure wisdom. Okay. And among the, between the sixth and seventh consciousness, because the seventh consciousness is so subtle, we cannot feel the existence. So the sixth consciousness is our core practice for all of us. Okay. 那这张图就是请大家不要忘记齁。如果我们今天是科学家，我们有这样的概念很好，因为我们可以回去实验室做一些不一样的实验，告诉世人不一样的观念啊。这时候我们就不会被我们自己自创的一个观念所局限，我们对于世界宇宙的生成可以有一个不一样的一个认知，好，那是最好的。但是否所有我们大部分人来讲，我们了解心事的作用，它其实是在帮助我们什么？放下执着，放下我的执着。好，那在这个从凡夫到成佛的这个过程中，就是不断的放下我。好，那有一大部分的我其实就是由分别起的我，好，有分别判断啊，计较的这种我，然后到更深层的哈，在高层次的我是什么我？是第七世执着的那个根深蒂固的存在的那个我。那个法我要放掉，好，那在一到八世里面中间呢，六七世是主要转变的地方。如果我们可以转六七世，前五世跟第八世自己自动转成清净世，好，可是第七世又很难觉察，所以第六世的活动，第六世是我们修行者的一个着力点，好，所以我们在日常生活中一定要时时觉察。我们第六世的一个反应，好，然后实时的把它净化，好，这是我们学唯识的主要目的。So this is the purpose for us to learn this consciousness only principles. And I hope all this information or knowledge help your practice or help your think differently about this world. And one day, you know, we can go beyond, and I believe so. The science can help us go beyond. 那我就是说，希望这些课堂课来能够帮助大家，就是说在修行上，还有对一些人事物的认知上有一些改变，然后这样我们可以很容易的比较能够去断除我们的烦恼。然后呢，那我也相信未来科学的发展一定会提供给我们一些讯息，让我们对这个宇宙世界的概念可以有一些改变。好，那但是对我们大部分人来讲，修行是很重要的，要从我们的心事 always reflect inwards, not ask outwards. Whatever bad thing happen, come back to our mind first. 什么事情发生，不要对外求，而是要回到不断提醒，好，这要练习，不断提醒，要往你内心里面去净化，这是最重要的。OK, I'm borrow 10 minutes. Thank you.